Business owners like you should have a strategy that empowers your team, giving you time to focus on what matters most.
And we understand the challenges of leading and building a high-achieving team, which is why we created BobbleOn, a system that helps businesses increase revenue, build a healthy culture, and create accountability throughout the organization.
BobbleOn.
Season 2, episode 4.
Quattro?
4, baby.
Dos Quattro. Season 2, episode 4.
What's season in Spanish?
I don't know. That's such a hard word.
I know.
We'll I know like out. Biblioteca.
The like, library?
Yes.
All right.
El baño.
Did you go to the baño and the biblioteca?
And like a la izquierda day. Those are the kind of terms that I remember. Because awesome. I was like, I think there was one day that I paid attention.
You were in a Spanish library?
Yeah. Well, no, it was a page of things that you should know. And I was like, yeah, I should know this.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. Well,
so
this is going to be a good
two,
one.
Episode 4. Yes, we are excited about this one.
Yep. So we've done a couple podcasts, and we're going to do a lot more on leadership qualities. Mm-hmm. We started with the organizational chart, and thank you to those who made it all the way through, because it is such an important tool for you.
Yep.
And now we're gonna dive into a specific role
yeah,
of the organizational chart.
We talked a little bit after last week about, you know, what we can talk about regarding the org chart, what part of the org chart is really important that, you know, it's more of, there's more meat on it instead of just like, hey, this is one role and this is another role and this is how you use it. And one thing that popped to us was, you know, when we're working with BobbleOn clients across the country, what's the department that most don't have? Mm. And that's the marketing department.
Absolutely. And the best agencies do.
The best agencies do.
Yeah. And when we're going around the country, we're going to be talking about what our clients and people we just meet with in general are saying about the marketing department, how they've solved it in their agencies. And then we're going to talk about why you should have one and how it could transform your agency, really.
Yeah, I mean, we were just with a client recently, and they were like, you know, I get why I need marketing. I understand why. Now I get what the volume and variety of tasks that they can help with. Mm. But, like, what should I do? Should I outsource this? Can I get someone part-time? Can I get someone out of college to do this? Mm. And this episode is really about why it's so important to not outsource and why it's so important to keep it in-house and the three reasons why you need to.
Well, give me the one reason why you had your best week last week. Give me the best.
Is that another way of saying personal best?
I'm just trying. I'm switching it up.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm in the baño.
We both had a couple hours of sleep. Like, you're all over the place.
It's true.
But, so my personal best is Hakuna Matata.
Ooh, what a wonderful phrase.
Yes. I'll explain. Mm. So Sadie and I saw The Lion King redone, which is funny. It's like all these movies that we loved when we were kids are now being redone to, like, appeal to us. Mm. And it's a little under 2 hours, easy flick. We saw it locally, and it was really impressive. I mean, the graphics and what they did to make these animals look like they're literally in the wild, captured in video, and then they were talking.
So it's not animated, or is it like
it is
CGI?
Animated, but like it's like CGI. I don't know. Man, like it is so good, I wasn't even sure.
Huh.
Like you watch it, you're
That's
like,
awesome.
You're like, I think it's got to be animated, but like they look real. They look like they're walking around real, and their mouths are moving. It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's wild. Is it the same script?
They stuck to the story. They added a few things, like one of the
don't give it away.
No, someone used the word like I don't know. You'd never call that guy. His name is Brad. Like Brad wasn't a name that people joked about back like 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it certainly is nowadays.
Okay, so they had some topicals.
Yeah. But like all the songs were the same storyline, the plot, cool. Nothing changed.
What's your favorite movie snack?
Oh, wasn't prepared for that.
In the theater.
I really like the small Reese's with the peanut butter Reese's or whatever.
Reese's Pieces?
Yeah, Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
I like those a lot because they're easy. They don't get stuck in your teeth. You're kind of just like, they're really tasty.
I like that.
I like Butterfingers too, but man, like...
That's hard in the movie theater.
You're just picking at your teeth for 2 hours.
That's true. It's just like crumbling all over you.
What about
like,
you? You have
what
a
did you have, Matt? You got it all over you. Milk Duds. I remember when I got my braces off when I was in like high school or whatever grade it was. I like I was excited to have milk duds again because I was like, you couldn't have those at Braces. That's disaster zone. So yeah, I would have milk duds.
Were milk duds the Kramer? The Kramer dropped milk
duds?
No,
that was the Junior Mints.
Ah, the Junior Mints. top five episodes. Yeah, we should actually do a separate podcast where like we preface it by, we're going to go over some really interesting stuff today. It's going to be great value. And then we just talk about Seinfeld for 2 hours.
Probably be our most listened episode.
You're probably right. All right, your personal best.
Personal best. Mason and Emma are such water bugs. They absolutely love the water. And we actually got our stuff organized and got Mason his first swim lesson this weekend. It was just so awesome just to see him just like ear to ear smiling, nonstop calling himself a big kid, just like going through the motions and having a blast. And he, I don't know how many swim lessons it'll take, maybe 5, maybe 10, maybe 3, who knows. But it was cool seeing progress. It was cool seeing him, he was just on his back, kicking, flailing, like having a blast, and seeing him how he started on his back and was a little scared. And towards the end, he was like in a really good place. It was cool.
And you said the instructor was pretty patient and really awesome. Helpful.
God, you got to have a ton of patience to do anything with kids at that age, let alone, I mean, the parents are obviously watching.
Yeah.
I mean, they're judging you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, so many things could go wrong. The kid could just be scared. The kid could not like you. The kid could want the mom or dad.
Oh, but yeah.
She did an excellent job. Mason didn't even look back to us. Just went
right
with her.
It's so much more, I mean, you think about like, you know, kids being coached at soccer at that age, and it's like, you know, really hard. You're basically hurting cats like all over the place, and they throw them in a pool and they don't know how to swim. Like, that's a tough thing to coach.
Yeah, and it's like super important. Like, super, super important that they learn how to swim. And, yeah, he's in a great spot. He can't wait to do it again, and neither can we.
Did you do swim lessons when you were a kid?
Yeah, I was an excellent swimmer. Still am.
Wow.
My mom was on like she tried for like Junior Olympics in swimming.
Oh, so she was really good.
Yeah, so naturally I had to win a lot of medals when I was a kid.
Sure.
I still have them. I'll wear them next episode.
I didn't know that about you.
Put them down.
Oh.
The more you know.
I'm going to call you Zach Phelps.
Zachariah Phelps. All right, so let's talk about why the best agencies keep their marketing in-house.
Right.
And so to your point, what you said earlier is as we're traveling a lot, we're hearing a lot of, we have marketing. We do marketing. And when people say that, what would they consider marketing in their firm?
Well, some people say we do marketing, and they're the ones who are producing. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, we do marketing. Like, I meet with referral partners, and I network a lot, and, like, I post on social media from time to time. So, I do marketing.
Yeah.
And, well, one, that's not what we consider marketing. That is business development and like networking strategy. And, you know, really good sale. That's like the beginning of a sales funnel.
Sure.
The second thing is that most of these people who are saying this are producers. They're not doing it on behalf of the company or the agency. They're doing it for their own production.
Personal branding.
Right.
And it's necessary, right?
Absolutely.
It's absolutely necessary. I don't care if you're inside sales or outside sales. That is a necessity. It's a great thing to do. But marketing is much more related to blog posting or developing website, landing pages or branding on the company with social media, which is an obvious one, or doing videos on YouTube or whatever. But it's directing people to the benefits of your company, your culture, and those kind of aspects.
It's creating that consistent message that who you are, what you stand for, what the value you offer to your clientele, and doing it in all types of forms.
Yeah.
And you can't possibly expect someone within the company who's holding another baton or carrying another, responsibility to adequately do that job.
No, it's
a full-time job.
Full-time job, and someone who understands marketing. It isn't like Jeff is just so good at sales, let's just have him do marketing,
or
like you
said. Jeff has 3,000 friends on Facebook. He'd be really good at marketing.
Yeah, Jeff's always been into Facebook.
Jeff's very active on Facebook.
God, the amount of times we hear that as you travel across the country. Oh, yeah, my daughter, Jane, like she's just always on social media, so I'm going to bring her in the marketing department. Like, good luck.
Yeah.
And good luck.
The best marketing people we've met will actually be very, like, candid and say, like, I'm not good at this, and this. They know it though, because they know their blind spots, and then they can bring in help and they can develop themselves.
Yes.
And because the ones that say like, oh yeah, I can help with marketing, no problem, like, no, there's a lot to it.
There's a lot to it.
Just website design in general, or website hosting and
marketing
SEO,
theory and all of it. So yeah, we recommend keeping it in-house, and there's a lot of different ways you can do that, and we'll go over that in another podcast maybe. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about why people keep it in-house.
Yeah, right? The benefits.
Yeah, so you can outsource marketing and you can probably get it done okay. It's not gonna cripple your business if you if you do not do any marketing now and you decide to just go outsource, whatever, like, yeah, not a big deal. But if you are looking to develop a brand and you're looking to develop a long-term strategy into how to penetrate your niche or penetrate your community, you should not outsource your marketing.
Yeah.
And we're gonna go into three reasons why you should not.
Yeah, and one thing to add to that is that outsourcing your marketing is better than not having any type of marketing strategy in place,
preach,
any type of marketing plan in place, mm-hmm, and not doing any social media, not doing any website stuff, not any SEO, newsletters, or whatever. Marketing firms exist because a lot of people don't want to do any of it. Mm. But if you want to go from a C- to an A+, you bring it in-house, and you have that person who's really good and owns that component of the business, and possibly build that department out to 3 or 4 or 5 people, mm-hmm, which is unheard of in our industry, unheard of in the insurance channel, is to have a marketing department of 4 or 5 people. But we're going to tell you 3 reasons why it's really, really helpful.
All right, let's get into it. So the first thing, in our opinion, if you outsource marketing, you lose your personality. You just lose the authenticity of your message, right?
Yeah, the messaging in general, it can be well-crafted, mm-hmm, but it won't ring true to who you are. And I think nowadays, more than ever, that transparent, authentic, genuine, vulnerable messaging is what people are gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. It used to be, if you just created content and put it out there enough, it was pretty relevant, and people were like, oh, no one else is doing this, so I'm listening and watching. There's not a lot of noise. Now there's so much noise. It's important to be very true to who you are and warm. Mm. And it's so hard to get that from an outsourced firm who is sharing 5 or 6 or 12 or 15 clients and you being one of them, and they're just checking it off the box that they got a newsletter done.
I know. It doesn't work. They're writing... when you outsource, you're basically writing blog posts on what is popular in the market. You're not necessarily, when you're doing it, the personality is what's going on in your actual business right now, what is happening. And when you have it in-house, they see the culture, they see what's going on. They see it, they can talk about it right away. You lose that if you outsource. It will. They will come, they will meet with you, they will get their image on it, and then they will see you in a couple months.
Right.
And that's not good.
Or they'll send us some pictures, take some photos, send us the pictures, mm-hmm, and like maybe give us a caption. And the difference is they'll then Google like topics that are important to talk about and come up with their own message, versus you having someone walk to the department next and sit with a service representative for 3 or 4 hours and just say, hey, like, what are the pain points you're hearing? Like,
what makes us special?
Can I listen to a phone call?
Yeah.
Can I listen to some clients? And like, what are they saying about you? Mm-hmm. Can I read the review? Like, there's so much that you can get done that provides a much more authentic, genuine message.
So yeah, when you outsource, it, overall, you lose personality. It comes off a little cold.
Yeah.
I think some of our best content, it's not a blooper reel, but it's when we've messed up a little bit in the content. Like, there are times we put out things where things are spelled wrong. Mm-hmm. There are times we put out things when we swear, when maybe it should be more buttoned up. Mm-hmm. And I get the engagements off those are just like, you guys, like, come on, you spelled there wrong. It's like, yeah, thanks, okay.
There's three there's, okay?
we did. It's not what we're good at, we're trying. And I like that engagement. Whereas if you outsource and they spell there wrong, you're pissed. You're like, this is what we're paying for. This is what we're paying for. Yeah.
You're right. I think the voice is probably one of the most important things when it comes to your marketing. It's not just consistency of content, but it's the voice, the actual message and the feeling, the emotion behind it. And if you outsource it to someone else who's working on multiple projects and clients, you can't expect. This isn't even like a debate. You can't expect them to be as solid and as genuine as you are.
Uh-uh. All right, so that's the first one. And number two, it relates a little bit that we're talking speed.
Yeah.
And your example of the marketing person going and sitting with the sales representative and just learning and or customer service, and just learning at what you guys do. It's almost like you take 2 steps slow to go 5 steps faster. Mm. You know, take a little bit of time, figure out what happens here, and then speed to execution is, man, you'll have content for days, for weeks, months.
Yeah, speed and control kind of go hand in hand. Mm. And when you have someone in-house, like, and you say it, like, you know, an idea comes up at 9 a.m. Mm. that you didn't have yesterday, you can actually implement it that day. You can say like, hey, I know we have these four priorities, but this fifth one is awesome. Let's capitalize on it. Let's test it out, A-B test it. And you can't possibly do that with an outsourcing firm.
No.
You send a request to maybe an info at yada yada, or like, you know, service request at yada yada.
Seinfeld reference.
And you get something back, you know, maybe later that day or the next day saying, yeah, we can put this on a docket for next week, or we need a conference call because that's outside the scope of our contract.
Which could not be more frustrating.
Right.
Outside the scope of your contract is where the ideas form, typically.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this is not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, it is just so important to be able to have an idea and test it. It is so frustrating to have an idea, write it down, and then try to relay it by email or by phone call for a department to test it, or have them tell you that they tried it in Idaho and it didn't work, and therefore no, try it. Yeah,
it's a good point. I think, you know, when you said speed too, like you used a good example of what speed to execute. Like here's what we need to get done. Let's get it done, and then the speed at which we can get that done. So just efficiency and effectiveness is better, but also like speed and frequency go hand in hand. So if you want to try to get, like, if you want to try to get 10 different things done, newsletter, blog post, website, you know, upgrade, social engagement, social post, video, you can't possibly do that at an affordable and fast rate within a week with an outsourcing firm. But
no
if you
way.
Have someone in-house and they're really organized, and whoever's managing them, or if they're managing themselves, like, has it laid out, you can get through a ton of projects much faster and probably a better ROI than any outsourcing firm could.
Way better.
Yeah.
Way better. Because it'll be your, you can point to yourself. You can point to the market, what's going on, as opposed to like these ideas that are working across the country and repurposing blog posts. And let's talk in our own voice. Let's get it done quickly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the third point that we think about a lot is, you know, you have two ears and one mouth. And really, like, listening to your audience is just so important. We talk about when we master the meeting, it's like you need to listen to what's going on. And when you have marketing in-house, the ability for you to hear what is going on and react to competitors is just faster.
Yeah.
And you can get it done, right, with somebody in-house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think any outsourcing firm who's worth their dime will do a good job providing feedback in report form.
Yes.
You know, they'll send you a report saying these are how many people opened this, this is how many people engaged with this, this is how many people, you know, looked at this. Mm. And it'll kind of help you figure out what kind of content's better and more effective. But to get to the whole nother level, it's like, what are people feeling when we say this? How are people responding? Mm. What are they saying via DM, like when they're sending you quick messages and you're sending them messages? Or how are your clients acting on the phone? Like, there's no way to get that from an outsourcing firm.
Yeah.
And I think getting deeper, more intuitive insights on your marketing so you can pivot quicker and more effectively is worth a lot more than the savings you could possibly get on an outsourcing firm.
I totally agree. I think you said it really well. The insights just, they are so important to have the insights. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all these places, they have LinkedIn. They have excellent analytics in your own blog post and your own website. You will have fantastic analytics, but analytics don't mean shit compared to what your audience is actually saying to you directly, even if they're not buying. And so you and I talk a lot about our own marketing at GNN. We are very heavy in the real estate field, of course. And a lot of people, when we're out, they just talk about that they saw it, and they talk about that they laughed at it. They didn't buy, which is an insight, perhaps. They didn't click through, but were top of mind.
Yeah.
And that's the key of
marketing. Memorable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you would have never known that if you had a report, right?
From an insight.
Yeah.
No, because 80% of Facebook videos aren't listened to in sound anyways, so it's like they don't know, right?
Yeah.
But it's, you lose that, and getting that feedback and that valuable, like, you guys are doing a really good job, marketing firm's not gonna be able to do that for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, we don't see many firms, many agencies have a marketing division or department or allocate like a specific box on the org chart for that. And those that do, probably, you know, a lot of them outsource to a firm. The one percenters, the best in the country, they don't look at it as a quick ROI. They devote resources towards having a full-time marketing person or multiple people in-house because they recognize that there's thousands of reasons why, but an authentic voice and a warm, like, really authentic, genuine voice, speed and control when it comes to actually your marketing plan, and then being able to listen to your audience and really getting good insights, you can't possibly get that from an outsourcing firm.
Absolutely. I think a tangible tip you can do, so too often where entrepreneurs fail is they're like, okay, Matt, Zach, this is a great idea. Like, I'm going to get a marketing person. They fill out like a job description, and then they bring this person in. They say, I want you to do this, this, that. I kind of recommend you do it a little bit the opposite way. Yes, if you want to do this, fill out a job description. You have to, right? But make it pretty clear that you want this marketing person to, before the interview, do a little bit of research in the firm. What would they do? Mm. Have the marketing person present to you what they would do with your firm and how they would market it and what goals they're seeing, because they should be able to present to you on a silver platter. Here's what I recommend. Mm-hmm. You have a bunch of these interviews. You pick the person who has the best plan, and then there's less management going on.
Yeah.
And then you just tell, okay, this is fantastic. Now you study us deeper and then execute.
Yeah.
It seems pretty simple.
Much better evaluation. Than you going out and just trying to, because you don't necessarily have a marketing eye at all.
No. Hey, I heard Facebook is popping.
Yeah. Like, what would you do with targeting ads? Like, how would you add target?
There's this pixel in the cloud I've heard about. Like, yeah. Can you pixelate me for me?
I totally agree. I mean, that would be me. I would go out and it'd be like, so I've heard Instagram is getting saturated with target marketing. What would you do to...
I heard women and men like Instagram, so we should be on it. No, not gonna work.
In general, I love that tip, and I think that's a really, really good recommendation. If anyone's looking to bring somebody on, that's a good way to interview them.
Simple.
But in general, I think we got to look at marketing as a way to hedge against future disruption, because our brand, our brand is going to become more and more important. And as things get more disruptive and noisy and tough for the consumers, like we got to really improve our brand. And out there, like, agencies aren't putting enough into the long-term play.
Amen, brother.
All right, buddy.
Season 2, episode 4.
Biblioteca.
Completamente.
Hakuna Matata.
Completed.
I don't know.
Babylon.
Babylon.